Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
At 12 o'clock, are down with the king topic of the day here on BT and Sal. And today, BT, it is Aaron Rodgers and the Giants quarterback situation with the actual news from Tom Pelissero reporting the Vikings are going with J.J. McCarthy. They are not showing interest or no longer interested, whatever it is, interested in Aaron Rodgers, which would take them out of the mix, which for me, and let's kind of push this forward because we rehashed this or went over it at 12 o'clock, at 10 o'clock to start the show. For me, the bigger part here is now that what was thought to be potential worst-case scenario, where if Rodgers went to the Vikings, Wilson went back to the Steelers, Giants would have Joe Flacco or Jameis Winston, that would be worst case. It seems like at least for now, the Giants would have avoided that, meaning Rodgers will choose either them or the Steelers, which then would leave them with Russell Wilson as the second option.
Yeah, listen, I think that Aaron Rodgers, maybe another opportunity arises. I mean, I was just reading something on one of the websites here, and they're making a case for teams other than the Giants and the Steelers just to push this forward. You know, I don't know how much this is really true. They throw the Browns out there. Obviously, they picked up Kenny Pickett, and Stefanski is well-respected, and they need some more offense. Maybe the Browns, Tennessee Titans have the first overall pick. They've got Calvin Ridley. They've got Tony Pollard. Got a couple of veterans. Brian Callahan, their coach, needs to get it going a little bit. Obviously, the Giants on the list. They list retirement as well. And they still have the Steelers number one. I guess the question is, I think some people around the league still view the Steelers as the better option because of their, you know, appearance of ready to win more now, which I think makes sense for on most fronts. But do you think there's a greater chance that, let's say the Steelers say, we're not interested in you, that he retires or that he goes to the Giants if there's no other options?
I think he wants to play.
No matter what.
Yeah, I think Rodgers wants to play.
I do too.
Now, I don't know that. It's just I felt that way since last year, since watching the Enigma stuff, like reading the book. I believe Rodgers wants to play. He's a competitor. He's going to hang on as long as he possibly can to try to prove it to himself that he could come back and still do this at a high level, prove to the doubters. I think Rodgers wants to play. So, yes, I think he would play if the Steelers said, you know what, we're tired of waiting or we want to move on. I think he's going to play for the Giants.
And what do you think the Giants' cutoff date is?
I don't think they have one. I think the Giants are going to wait. Now, I think it would be bad for both the Giants and Rodgers for that to be the marriage. I would prefer Russell Wilson and one of the younger quarterbacks. Not that I don't. Like, I think Rodgers is the better quarterback than Russell Wilson. I don't think he's the better quarterback for the Giants than Russell Wilson. But I wanted to further it in this way. And you touched on this earlier. Maybe a caller brought it up. Let's just look at Rodgers, right? You and I may be higher on him than most. You like him for the Giants or think it's okay.
Yep,
I don't.
Definitely.
I don't want him for the Giants. But where would you rank Rodgers as far as being a quarterback? Where, you know, there's some thought he could be top 10 still, top 15. If we looked at the around the league.
I just want to pop up some names. I'll give you my number.
Yeah, I'm looking up. I just got the teams here. Like, he's not better than Josh. You want to start in the AFC?
How about
AFC?
If you want to do it this way, I'm good for this. How about you throw a team at a quarterback and I'll tell you if I think Rodgers is better.
Okay, Josh Allen.
No.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Possibly.
Justin Fields.
Yes.
Now, it's interesting, though. See, it's kind of the same thought process that the Jets had that I have, whereas, and I actually thought Rodgers was a better fit for the Jets than he is for the Giants, but even though I know Rodgers is a better quarterback than Justin Fields, I just don't think he's the better quarterback for the Giants. You see what I'm saying?
I get it. I understand the same thing.
I think he's better than Fields, but I could understand why the Jets didn't think he was best for them. Drake May?
Drake is obviously very intriguing. He's very young. There's no option Drake May's the guy.
Right, but there's also, who's more established, who's had the better career versus, like, who's the better option right now?
Yeah, no, I'm trying to, like, mesh and marry the two. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Lamar Jackson?
No.
Obviously, Pittsburgh doesn't have one. Joe Burrow?
No.
Cleveland's got, like...
They picked up Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, and they have Deshaun Watson. And
they could draft somebody, too. Right. So I'm going to say, based on that congestion,
right.
No.
I guess the way to phrase it is not who's better than Rodgers, or it's which quarterback situation is better than Aaron Rodgers.
I'll tell you what, if Aaron Rodgers was on the Browns next year, they would be better than anything else that they could do.
Right, so I don't think you could say that the Browns quarterback situation currently is better than Aaron Rodgers.
No, but it's just too congested. It's not better.
Houston, yes.
No. Right. Like, meaning Rodgers not better.
Yeah, exactly. Indianapolis?
Rodgers better.
They chose Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Jacksonville?
Trevor Lawrence is better. Right. I mean, at least intriguing-wise, yeah.
Tennessee, I'm going to say Cam Ward is better than Rodgers at this point. But
yeah, I think they're going to take him.
Right.
Myself.
Well, or even at least the option of taking him or whoever they want, is having the number one pick in your choice is better than Rodgers at this point, especially for them. Mahomes, Herbert, Bo Nix, Geno Smith.
I think Rodgers is better than Geno, myself.
So you think the Raiders quarterback situation could be better if Aaron Rodgers was there?
I do.
Fair enough. Eagles?
No.
Commanders?
No.
Cowboys.
That's not the problem. He might not be the answer, like enough of the answer to satisfy Cowboys fans. Dak's pretty good. I have no problem with Dak.
The more we have this conversation, it is fun and interesting because, like, Dak is very good, but the potential of Rodgers on that team, is that better than Dak in his prime with Rodgers going to be 42 years old?
No, because the other components are too weak in Dallas for them to be a champion.
So you'd rather have...
I'm going to go with Dak here.
Yeah, okay. Giants, obviously, we know. Lions with Goff?
Nope.
Vikings?
Nope.
Now, like, for me, if I'm Minnesota, I'm looking at it saying, hey, we can be a Super Bowl winning team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're relying heavily on essentially rookie because he was hurt all of last year, and J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
You're trusting him with the keys to that team. You took it as far as they did with Sam Darnold. God, I really think if I were a Viking or Kevin O'Connell, I get the appeal of just keeping within the guy that you believed in, drafted, whatever, with McCarthy. I'd be tempted to say, you know what? Let's take a run at it. A highly motivated Rodgers in a dome. In a weak NFC, I think if you put Rodgers on the Vikings, I would think that they could be a Super Bowl favorite in the NFC.
What if you're seeing stuff from McCarthy that validates the draft choice, and you're like, okay, we could do things on the run and athletically, even though he's coming off a ripped up knee, that we can't do with Rodgers? Like, they're seeing it from the inside.
But also coming off that injury.
No, I don't. The ACL's not that big a deal anymore. Yeah. Jones was running around. It's not that big a deal.
I guess.
When you're young.
All right, Packers, love.
Yep. Love's better.
Bears.
Caleb Williams. Yeah. They're not ready to win anyway, so it doesn't matter to me.
You'd rather have the Bears situation
young,
than Rodgers
right now. Interesting, yes.
Baker Mayfield?
I think, honestly, you can make a case that Baker's a better quarterback at this point.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, Baker's better.
I'm with you on that. Penix / Kirk Cousins in Atlanta.
I forget about Kirk. I can't stand him. I just don't like him as a player. Penix is interesting enough. They made the right choice, the right draft choice.
Bryce Young?
I want to see a little more from Bryce. He's interesting. He played very well for a while. And where they are, he fits them more than Rodgers.
Exactly. I still like that situation better than Rodgers. New Orleans?
I think Rodgers would be better.
Yeah, they right now they're. I don't like Carr. We both wanted Rodgers instead of Carr for the Jets. So why would I want Carr now?
Correct.
After he hasn't looked good with the Saints. Now maybe they pick somebody. Maybe they take Jackson Dart.
They might draft somebody. I think they're at 9.
I saw a mock draft the other day that had Dart going to New Orleans.
Okay.
Stafford.
Stafford's a stud.
Sam Darnold with Seattle. Yeah, I know it's an interesting.
That's
one.
That's a tough one here.
Now remember, they had their choice. They chose Darnold instead of Rodgers.
No, they did. Sam, now, without DK Metcalf, who's gone.
Yep.
A lot of a couple of... I'd probably say Sam. He's 27 years old.
Well, that's the thing.
He's
like,
young.
I wouldn't trust Sam Darnold. I wouldn't give him a big money contract. Yeah. I wouldn't do what Seattle did.
Me neither, by the way.
But I also think that they're better off doing what they did than latching on to Rodgers at 42 at this point.
That so might be the toughest one for me so far, by the way.
Two more to go. Yep. Cardinals, Kyler Murray.
I go with Kyler one more year.
And the Niners.
I think Rodgers would make them better.
Than Brock Purdy?
Yeah. Than Brock Purdy, sure, 100%.
Yeah, I like the appeal of it. Point is, there are a lot of teams that are in, whether you love their quarterback or not, they're in situations that are better than taking a flyer on Rodgers.
Yeah, based on timelines primarily and money.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know.
So I don't know if I could say that he'd be a top 10 quarterback in the league at this point. We went through all those different options.
Fair enough. Now, again, you know, you can go to QBR, which is one way. But I mean, how many quarterbacks actually threw more touchdowns than Rodgers last year? I'm going to say 10, 11. Yeah, I'll pop it up. 10, 11, something like that.
I know, but you're getting into the stats.
I know. Just out of curiosity, I'm not saying that that's the end all be all. I'm definitely not saying that. A couple that threw in the 40s. So you had 1, 2, 3. So three quarterbacks were in the 40s. Only two others were in the 30s. Aaron Rodgers had the seventh most touchdowns in football, dude.
I get it.
And the first 7-8 games, you couldn't even move.
I guess for me,
jeez,
after the year in Green Bay,
I wanted the Jets to keep him.
Well, I understand that. I know that. I wanted the Jets to keep him, too, with a different head coach. I wanted what the Raiders did, but except for Geno, it'd be Rodgers. I wanted Pete Carroll and Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. You did say that.
I'd be excited about that. I understand the appeal of this regime, and I feel like they are getting it to a certain extent. Now they got to go out there and actually win, but yeah, I believe in Rodgers. I thought the bad year in Green Bay was the aberration, and I really thought we were going to see vintage Rodgers with the Jets at least for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we got robbed of that with the injury. And last year was not vintage Rodgers, whether you look at the interceptions, the slow start, whatever. And now you're three seasons removed from that.
It's
age 42,
now.
Like, and there's been a significant injury in there. I don't think you could look at Rodgers. I certainly am not. I don't think you could look at him as what he was with the Packers at all. Could he still throw it maybe better than some in the league? Sure. Could he still make some plays? Yeah, but I don't. And I'm not trying to doubt Rodgers because I wouldn't doubt him. But he's just not anything close to what he once was.
No, the adjustment is you have to adjust where he is.
Yeah.
But so, all right, if touchdowns doesn't excite you, like, because touchdowns, again, a lot of them were hollow. I certainly grant you that. And we've said a few, you've said this more than me, even though I don't disagree, but you've said it twice today, the interceptions.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you the list of quarterbacks that actually threw more than him last year.
Right.
Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith, Jameis Winston, Jared Goff, Sam Darnold, Will Levis, who that's not a surprise, Brock Purdy, Bo Nix, Anthony Richardson, and C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Like, if he threw 28 touchdowns last year, but also had, like, 17, 18 picks, and he was, like, that's
right.
Over 10 quarterbacks who threw more than 10 picks.
Well, when I
referenced them,
fair enough. When I reference those numbers, I'm not referencing them in comparison to other QBs. I'm referencing them in comparison to Rodgers, one of his elite skills was not to throw interceptions. I mean,
agreed.
You go seasons where
four, five.
I referenced the years before how many times single digits.
But
so,
maybe you need to adjust what you look at him as, because again, that Rodgers is gone.
Right, so he's still better than
now. The new evaluation is, all right, can you get a team in the end zone enough to justify signing him and not turn it over with the frequency that would sabotage a season? And based on what he did on one leg for the first 2 months, I think you can very easily make that case.
And to sum it up, BT, before we get back to the calls here, 888-808-1019, I just feel like the Giants, and we had this exact conversation a week ago, are in a powerless position and are desperate, like the Jets were with their regime with Saleh and Douglas, to try to salvage their, you know, what was left of what they were trying to build. They went and chased the veteran quarterback, and then Rodgers was more appealing and better than 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whatever it is, before they got Rodgers, than he is now. And the Giants are essentially doing the same thing, trying to save their asses, saying, hey, he's our best option. We couldn't get Stafford. We don't love anybody in the draft. And even if we did, we're not necessarily, hitching our wagon to save our jobs on that right now. And they're going hard after Rodgers. And we saw how it worked with the Jets. Why would I think it's going to be different with the Giants, who were in a worse spot than the Jets were?
There's definitely some chapters that are similar. Like, the cover of the book seems like it's identical.
Yeah.
The difference would be the placation of Aaron Rodgers would be three or four levels lower with the Giants than with the Jets.
BT and Sal.
OC, yeah. Former player, stuff like that.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires. From Connecticut to Maine, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Don is in Tampa, Florida. What's up, Donnie?
Hey, guys. What's going on? I just wanted to touch on really the reality about how I don't trust this organization as far as quarterback evaluation. And I think Sal nailed it about an hour or so ago when he was talking about all of the passing that these guys had decided to make on certain quarterbacks. So let me just quickly lay this out. So they obviously gave Jones the big contract. Everybody knows that. Last year, I think anyone with a brain should have realized that he was not going to be the guy that was going to take them to the promised land. So what they do, they choose to pass on Penix. They pass on Nix. They pass on J.J. McCarthy. Okay, all first-round guys. You want to tell me that they wanted a stud wide receiver instead in the first round? So be it. I don't agree with that, but so be it. But then what really bothers me, and this is really the purpose of my call, so I remember sitting at the draft last year, literally. I live here in Tampa. I'm from Connecticut. That's why I'm a big Giants fan. I'm watching the draft, and it's like the third, fourth round, right? And I'm thinking to myself, and I'm saying this to my family, you know, the Giants need to draft Joe Milton late in the draft. They take a flyer on him in the fourth round. So the fourth round comes around. They don't pick him. Fifth round comes around. They don't pick him. Sixth round comes around. Do you guys know who they picked in the sixth round with the 183rd pick?
No.
It was Darius Masawa. He's a linebacker with UCLA. He'll probably never see the field. 10 picks later, the Patriots pick Joe Milton. And I look at that, and I'm like, the guy obviously has talent. He was a stud at Tennessee. And then, I don't know, have you heard Evan's report on the show there? Evan said probably about a week or two ago that somehow he saw a report that they had Milton not even listed on their quarterback roster. They had him as, like, a player who would have to play another position. He wasn't even a quarterback on the board when they were doing their drafting.
I'm like, I did not hear that, but that would then make me think that they have no interest in trading for him. They just didn't like him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, they're probably right that they're not going to trade in him. But, I mean, to me, that's just a testament to how, for a guy who's supposed to be great at quarterback evaluation, which is really why they brought him here, right? Quarterback development, supposed to be a guru in that world. I mean, these are just all signs to me that something's off with their complete evaluation process when it comes to quarterbacks.
Don, you nailed it.
I don't get it.
We were thinking along the same lines a year ago, and thank you for the call. I said flat out they needed to take a quarterback. Now, I wanted one with the sixth pick or whatever it was, and they obviously chose Neighbors. But it's like how could you draft last year without selecting a quarterback? I couldn't believe that they did that. I couldn't believe it. Oh, no, we don't love anybody. We don't love anybody. Okay, you're going to roll back down with Daniel Jones again? Look where they ended up. And now again, so like the excuse, and we have to see how this plays out. I still believe, now maybe I'm the idiot for trusting them. I believe that they're going to draft a quarterback. Like, I felt like they had to do it last year. They really have to do it now. Not that it's a good thing, BT, because you shouldn't be forced into it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you just can't say, well, we didn't like anybody, so we didn't force the issue. And then year four comes, and, well, we didn't like anybody, so we didn't force the issue. Well, I mean, at some point, you got to, you know what, or get off the pot. And at some point, they got to select a quarterback, or they're going to be on their asses looking for jobs. I think that's where we're at with this Giants regime.
I mean, honestly, maybe the Giants are just ahead of the curve. I mean, you think about the copycat nature of sports, how, you know, the Warriors rearranged the hierarchy with the three-point shot and run-and-shoot offense back in the day, the Oilers, the Bills. Maybe the Giants are trying to win a championship without a quarterback.
I mean, that would
first team
just keep having guys that can't throw the football. But now they're telling you, see, this is why I have a hard time with Shane and Dable. Because as Boomer alluded to, when they won that Colts game, Dable in the post game was, well, it's what happens when you have a quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay, well, my counter to that statement, and remember, I'm a Brian Dable fan. So this is not like me looking for his head like most people were in week one of last year. My counter would be, yeah. Well, then why did you, who needs a quarterback, choose Daniel Jones? You chose to stick with him for 3 years. You stuck with him. 3 years. Now you're telling me, well, we need a quarterback. No bleep, Sherlock. Like, I told you that a year ago. And now those same people are going to say, well, we don't love Cam Ward. We don't love Shedeur Sanders. Like, hey, at some point you're going to have to take the leap and pick somebody and develop them. That's the whole reason why you're here. In part that he got hired was because he was a quarterback, you know, whisper.
It is weird. It's now, if you were to ask him that question, right, which is a money question, and he was honest with you, he might say, because the owner made me.
Okay, but the owner didn't. I would think the owner didn't prevent him from selecting a quarterback last year. Like, if Dable and Shane felt strongly. Now, remember, we saw in Hard Knocks that they were looking for another quarterback.
That's right.
Which, you're right, BT, like, brings up, it's even more idiotic because they knew Jones wasn't it. Because if they didn't think, or if they did think that Jones was it, they wouldn't be inquiring about trading up to get May.
Yep.
It makes no sense.
And then it's one thing if you can't get May, but then why pass on three other guys? That's why they stink right now. One of the many reasons.
So they thought, if we just use common sense, they thought that keeping Jones and selecting Neighbors was a better option than taking one of the quarterbacks last year. And they thought wrong. And now they're even in a worse spot this year. BT and Sal on the Fan, more of your calls when we come back.
Welcome back.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to BT and Sal on the Fan, home of two-time defending Pull Your Card World Series champion, Sal Licata.
Back-to-back championship, Sal. How you feeling?
I feel like I'm starting to build a dynasty. I won the first World Series, then I took out the New York Yankees manager, and now I've won my second World Series.
Probably the most unbelievable feat in World Series history.
This is a dynasty in the making.
How about that for a free
Johnny? Who's free from
that? All right, we'll take a guess. I did not hear that. I found out word that was in the making yesterday, so it was not me.
Okay, let me guess.
If you had to guess whose idea that was behind the scenes. No.
Hoff.
Also no.
Hurley.
Also, no.
What?
No, you would
not
think
Chris. Chris Alvey wouldn't weigh in on that.
No, I don't even think Chris. Chris knows I still work.
Chris thought we were doing basketball cards.
He wants me on the base.
Ah, man, oh man. All right, so I don't think there's anybody on the air.
No, nobody on the air. You're missing one.
Zach Martin.
It's almost everybody. But
Zach produced it. Zach put it together.
Zach put it together. Yeah, go ahead.
Youssef.
No, it was not Youssef. One more.
Jeez.
It's almost
Jess.
Nope. You're going now.
Way far away from the...
You're going to kick your
Oh, Dave David.
Dave Marinac. Dave Marinac.
That's pretty good.
He texted us with that.
That was good, actually.
Emailed it, yeah. Look at that, little creation for the two-time Pull Your Car World Series champ.
I love that, don't you?
Actually, as a matter of fact, I do. Hoff, can you text that to me so I can send it to Aaron Boone?
Put it on the resume? Oh, dude. You got to text it to him. You have to.
I didn't say
you really
again.
Should.
Oh, he's got some, laying low. I don't want to...
He's got some things he's got to work through in the spring.
Don't want to ruffle any feathers right now.
I mean, we better get him now. What if they get up to a 2-7 start? Get him now and the games don't count.
What happened, Hop? David is there.
Yeah, Dave's there. He's taking bows.
David wants a bow.
Yeah.
Look at him. Dave, wow, on. What a sublime work, Dave. Fantastic.
You get me in trouble with BT now. You're driving a wedge between the two of us.
What are you doing over there, Dave? Come on, buddy. You're lucky I'm not a sore loser. I'm actually a very gracious loser.
BT's going to think that I came up with that on my own and I planted it.
I honestly did for a second.
What? It was not a my creation. That was a your creation.
No, you know what I was thinking, BT? I thought to myself, you know what? This town is so starved for championships. I'm using this as a motivational tool.
And he's the bastion of champions all of a sudden.
Exactly. And you got to will the Johnnies to a victory, man. So you got to take this motivation for taking this L like a man, like you did.
I take it.
Absolutely. You know what? I'm going to bring the Johnnies back to life, just like the whole city wants. I'm taking them on my shoulders, and we're going right to the Final Four.
I like it. Now, right. Dave listens brilliant, to our show David. Every second. Yes. He is invested in the show, invested in the station.
Obviously,
I appreciate the
obviously
contribution.
Obviously, a brilliant mind and understands a winner when he sees one.
Yeah, he's starting to get that Letterman beard all of a sudden, too. I don't know what's going on with that thing. He's getting a little straggly there, buddy, but good work on the promo.
I got to manage it a little bit better. It's brutal. I will say, guys, though, also, the Baseball Card World Series has taken on a life of its own, and I'm hopeful that... it becomes as big as the actual event itself because everybody loves it, man. So keep up the great
work. Well, maybe one of these years we actually get it sponsored. I mean, that would be nice. I mean, we could do that. Or, I don't know.
All right, BT, thank you, Dave. We appreciate that. But yeah, that was not me. And I didn't even know that they were playing it there, to be honest with you. I didn't know it was done.
That's good.
I just heard that it was in creation or in the works.
I got something for you.
Yeah,
real fast here. All right. So now, if you know Mink... as you do, he's, and I don't mean this as a knock, he's not an incredible conversationalist. He's very, he's almost a little socially awkward. Is that a fair description of Mink?
Yes.
A little bit. Okay, not the best ad libber, everything.
Projects older than he is.
Yeah. We could probably throw 10 more things on the table. But we love the Mink man, right? So I told you he texted me this morning.
Yeah.
And we don't text too often, here and there, right? He texted me a picture of St. John's practicing. You can see the image right there. Yeah. And it says practice at Rhode Island College.
Right.
Because each school will get a location, not the actual venue, right? And I wrote, that's awesome. How's the hotel? And he writes back, just had a wedge. Now, you know what a wedge is, right?
No.
No.
It's a salad?
No, not the good guess.
No, it's a sandwich.
No.
A wedge
and it's
is
not,
a
not a wedgie. It's when the ball gets stuck in between the backboard of the rim.
Oh, yeah.
And nothing makes, I think when Mink gets to call the wedge, and I've been with him for a while now, there's probably two or three each year, he gets more excited than he actually did the final call of the Big East Championship. There's something bizarre. His affection for wedges is ridiculous. So I just do, all right, we just had a wedge. Great. I don't care. Like a wedge of practice.
Right. What am I going to do with that?
So I write back. I give him a little, a little smiley face. Oh, funny one, Mink. And then I wrote back, how was the hotel? And remember, I had already asked, how was the hotel?
It sounds like your wife. Remember you were asking her something directly last week?
Two different conversations?
Yeah, and she didn't respond back.
He writes back, no comment. So the first thing...
Oh, that's not...
It's the best hotel in Rhode Island. I'm not going to drop how much it is at night, but it's the team's... Oh. Trust me, it's a great one.
Now, you guys are... I'm assuming they get two beds for you, right? You'll be on one side, Mink will be
get
on the
hell
other.
Get a room. Get a room. I could not, man. I can't ruin anybody. I wouldn't want a room with any other person except my family. My dad, like when we go to baseball tournaments with my son, whatever, but that's it. Practice at Rhode Island College. That's awesome. How's the hotel? Just had a wedge, smiley emoji. And how's the hotel? No comment.
You know, I always thought
it was a strange interaction.
Well, it's the McMahon, as you said. When you said wedge, first of all, I wasn't even thinking basketball terms, but now that you say that.
Just had a wedge for lunch? You think he's telling me?
I don't know. I'm thinking, what are they? My first thought was golf, and then I start thinking, wedge? What is it, a salad, whatever? But when I hear that basketball term, I think of Ian Eagle, who famously called, a wedgie! He gets really into that.
Does he say wedgie or wedge?
No, he says wedgie.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay.
If we could find a clip somewhere, Hoff, maybe there, or Dove, there's got to be an Ian Eagle call, if it's on YouTube or something, calling a wedgie. Probably during the NCAA tournament, if not with the Nets games, but yeah.
He likes it too.
Oh, a wedgie or something like that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've heard multiple times.
It seems to have a very esteemed place in the basketball community, if you really think about this.
I've never heard it referred to as a wedge, though. Me, personally.
I think if I was doing the play-by-play the first time, that never happened to me when I was doing games. Like, I would say, all right, that's jammed between the rim and the backboard, whomever's ball, whatever.
Ball gets stuck in there. Yeah, whatever.
So let's
see. It's wedged
see.
In there, I guess. You have it? You have Ian Eagle wedgie? Let's hear it. Good.
Doncic. Hop step. Fake. Corner. Oh, a 3-point wedgie!
Oh, my God. He loves it.
Yes.
A 3-point wedgie. He got really excited over that.
He is the freaking best.
Yeah, he is good.
That's good. That's how I remember that from Ian calling the wedgie.
Now, think about of all the things like Mink or Ian or Mike Breen, anybody who's done basketball forever, Carino, like, it's probably the rarest occurrence. Like, there's technical fouls, there's dunks, there's threes, there's stoppages in play, whether somebody's throwing up or there's somebody mopping up sweat.
Right.
Like what else can happen so infrequently, more so than the wedge, which might happen over the course of a season 3-4 times?
I guess I do.
So they get excited.
Right, I guess I do find it odd, though, that Ian loves it so much, clearly. And
so
now
does Mink. Like, he actually raises... And
wedge.
Brandon, that is a wedge.
Oh.
And he actually has a wedge counter. He'll let us know if it's the first or the second.
Oh, my God.
They got the pitch counter. Poor Mick's got the wedge counter.
He's obsessed with the wedges.
He loves it.
Who knew? All right, BT and Sal, the fan. We'll take a quick break. Come back. More of your calls. Giants quarterback situation. We'll get to the Mets maybe at 1 o'clock, BT. Didn't talk about them much. Obviously, yesterday we did a lot of Yankees. Almost a week away from opening day, we'll have a Mets conversation as well. BT and Sal on the fan. It's out back on the fan. A lot to get to before we say goodbye at 2 p.m. We'll continue with the calls as well, 888-808-1019. We just heard Boomer right there, and then I was watching something during the break. I know, BT, you're not a huge Ranger fan necessarily, especially caught up with the Johnnies, but you know enough to what's going on here.
I know enough
here.
They looked awful last night.
Yeah, so last night, obviously not a great effort at the world's most famous against Calgary, and some people are saying that it's the worst loss. I saw Molly Walker does a great job covering the Rangers for the Post, talk about it, one of the worst losses in the NHL. This season, Rangers are in a fight for a playoff spot, and they lay an egg like that at home against a Calgary team that is, not very good. They're okay, but out on the outside looking in themselves. Here's what I'll say about the Rangers. They got another game tomorrow night at home, and then Saturday in a game that I'm going to, taking my daughter Sammy to her first ever hockey game, which I can't wait to go. But more importantly, Sam Rosen being honored for the Rangers on Saturday at 1 o'clock against Vancouver. So it's a big week for the Rangers here. Obviously big down the stretch. They played 69 games. They are right now 1 point out of the final wild card spot. And Boomer this morning was saying that they should fire the head coach, Laviolette. Now,
I'm not saying that they should or shouldn't. What I will say is I liked Gallant before Laviolette, and I understand that it was time for a change, and you go to Laviolette, and okay, you're thinking he's going to get the guy, he's going to be a guy to change the temperament a little bit, get them over the hump. They had a tremendous regular season a year ago, as good a regular season as you could have.
President's Cup, right?
Yeah, they won the President's Trophy, best team in the league in the regular season, dominating every which way. They went through adversity early on. And then in the postseason, they just got beat by a team who was built better for the postseason in Florida. And then it all kind of came crumbling down. I still think the Rangers are going to make the playoffs. And I don't know if a change is needed right now with the head coach, but I think it's more on the player. Like, they changed a bunch of the players to a point where I would think that the head coach's message wouldn't be tuned out when they changed a lot of the pieces outside of the core guys. That's the problem to me. Panarin, Zibanejad, Lafreniere, the guy Kreider, the guys that have been here are, I don't know if they've checked out or what, but I don't know if another coach, how many coaches does this group need? Like, is another coach going to be the difference? I think it's just time to blow up the core of this team, but they really can't do it with the way that these salaries are.
And you really think they're going to make it?
I do think they're going to make the postseason. Now, that could just be me wishful thinking.
They got 13 games to go. Seven on the road, by the way.
Okay, and they're right now a point behind the Canadians, who do have two. You know, Canadians have only played 67 games. Rangers played 69.
Oh, they got two in hand.
You get the Islanders as well, and Blue Jackets right behind the Rangers with 70 points. They also played two fewer games than the Rangers. So odds are right now not looking good. I still think yes, because it's Shesterkin. And I still just, I can't believe that this Rangers team is going to miss the postseason. Also, early in the season, I thought they were left for dead. But they came back, remember?
Yes, they did.
We left them for dead, saying it's over, break it up, fire, whatever.
It's about when the Devils got off to a really good start.
Yeah, and the Rangers were looking awful in the beginning of the year. So the fact that they overcame that, and Drury kind of tried to change this team on the fly here, I still think they're going to get it done. Either way, all I really care about, truth be told, they better score some goals on Saturday when I take my daughter to her first game. I'm not paying $250 a ticket to sit there and watch this team give an effort like that. That is unacceptable. And if that happens again, then I'll be screaming along with Boomer, fire the head coach.
You got to get the chant.
But yeah, I do
That's what you need for her.
Yeah, exactly.
You need the chant, dude.
I want the goal song. But I do feel like, am I just being Ranger fan biased here? You on the outside looking in, you would think the odds are against them to be a postseason team?
Listen. This came up, I think it was Bullface Live, Bullface Truth, a week or so, and I said they were not going to get in. Now, I mean, but I'll also say, what the hell do I know? Like, I don't pretend to be a hockey expert.
No,
but,
I get it, but do the math on it.
No, I don't like that. I mean, you go back to early March. I mean, loss, 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 win, win, loss, loss. Does that seem like a team that's getting ready to get their act together? I don't know. Now, a few of those were overtime losses. One was the overtime win at Minnesota. Now you're losing to teams that you're not supposed to lose to at home Calgary. Come on.
The effort was a bad thing against the Flames last night. I think that's why people, especially Boomer, have reached the tipping point, like, enough's enough. They're in a battle here for a postseason spot, and they look like they're lifeless last night at home against a team that they should be beating. You should be getting those 2 points, so to give those back, it's tough. You have the schedule up there?
I got it up. Yeah, they got a West Coast trip coming up, by the way.
Give me the remaining schedule.
Home to Toronto, home to Vancouver. Then you go to L.A., and you go to Anaheim.
Toronto and Vancouver, both currently playoff teams.
Yep. Then you're at the Kings, at the Ducks, and at San Jose. And that is a Tuesday, Friday, Saturday. So three games in 5 days.
San Jose, not easy. And the Ducks, not very good.
But still, 3,000 miles away. You know, they're not playing well. Minnesota at home.
Yeah.
At the Devils. Tampa, home. Philly, home. At the Isles. At Carolina. At Florida. Home to Tampa. Yeah, I mean, you're starting. That's a tough stretch.
There's a mix in there of some very winnable games
for sure,
and also some challenging games. They got to earn it. You know, the other reason why I believe in them is because of the goalie. Like, they got the bat. Again, like, we look at the Rangers and we're comparing them to the team that won the President's Trophy a year ago. So they should certainly be better than what they are right now. But it's not like they're one of the worst teams in the league. They're disappointing relative to the expectations. They still have so much talent and the best goalie in the world, in my opinion. I don't know. I hold out hope that they're going to get in. And really, more so than just holding out hope, the fact that I thought they were left for dead and buried early on, the fact that they could be where they're at now shows me that just when you've been about to count this team out and leave them for dead, they could still respond. It's not over yet.
Of course it's not over yet. There's no doubt. But, like, I honestly, last year, All right, so you have the easy series with the Capitals. That was they dusted them, right? And then, so you talk about getting to the conference finals, but even the Carolina series wasn't particularly easy.
Yeah.
Oh, not an easy series.
I know, but that's how these
They won two games in overtime. One was double overtime. Like, they very easily could have lost in the set. Now, they didn't, and that's all that matters. I think to actually answer the question that you asked me, like, is the, aside from being the playoffs or not, the coaching, the roster, like, to me, like, I don't know if it's that they're not getting his message, and it seems that that would be odd since there are new bodies on the team. How could you not get the message when you were brought in 5 weeks ago?
Right.
That's when you should get them. It should still resonate. But to me, and we see this in all sports, what's the true story? What's the connection? Is it that the coach's message got stale, or the players simply aren't good enough or don't have the leadership? And honestly, with the Rangers, I just don't think they're good enough to win a cup. I don't.
Yeah, well, but there is a difference between good. Like, they proved that last year that they weren't good enough to win the cup, at least this core group. This year, I mean, they should be good enough to make the playoffs. They were the best record
for
in the
sure.
league last
this
year.
This is an embarrassment, what
okay.
they're doing.
And then when you factor in that they've had two different now coaches with this core group, with Gallant and Laviolette, just going back to recent years here.
Yep.
Like, you're going to tell me that changing the coach again is going to be the answer?
No, I would have changed the core.
Right, like, I think Zibanejad is a problem. I think Panarin in the postseason specifically is a problem.
Lafreniere
not being the pick that they thought he was going to be is a problem. Remember, they get rid of Kako saying, all right, well, okay, well, like, they, and I think Drury realizes that. I think Chris Drury is smart enough to know the real issues here. There's no way out. Zibanejad, if he doesn't want to go anywhere, he's not going anywhere.
No trades.
And that's part of the problem. The Rangers are limited, and I felt like Drury did as good a job as he could trying to change the look of this team. Bringing in JT Miller was a big gun here for the Rangers. I who knows if it'll be enough ultimately, but I don't think just firing Laviolette will be the answer.
I don't either. Hey, Hoff, real quick, you watch pretty much every shift of this team at this point.
He was upset last night.
I know, I can tell. You think they're a playoff team? You think they get in?
No, I'm done with them, and you should be too.
Now, why? Why are you done with them? Just last night's effort?
Because there's lack of effort. There's just the coach in year two of Peter Laviolette, which I thought was going to change from Gallant, they've already checked out of him. I mean, it's done. And I got to be honest with you, I know the people defending Igor Shesterkin because, you know, there's only so much you could do when you get like 1,000 shots on that, and he can only do so much. But I got to be honest, he's been a little underwhelming as well for a guy who just signed a huge contract.
Yeah, I mean, they had that weighing over them, and then they came to the resolution with the contract. I'm not going to knock Igor. This is not on him. I think it's everything in front of him that's been the issue. Disappointing players, you know, the lack of effort. See, the disappointing players is one thing. The lack of effort should never be tolerated, which is why we're making a big deal about it today. And that's just us. Obviously, I'm referencing the Boomer clip and all that stuff and people talking about that effort last night was unacceptable. That just cannot happen. So how do you change that? Is the answer firing the coach? I don't think that it is.
What was Boomer saying? Because I saw it on social. I didn't hear. And I listened to Jerry and Boomer a lot this morning. I just didn't hear that particular clip. Was him saying fire him today or at the end of the season?
I would assume
fire him to salvage the season.
I would assume it meant now. I didn't get the.
That's what I took away from it as well. I thought
the coach needs to go. That's what he said. I mean, it could have meant in the offseason.
Whenever it's over officially.
Yeah. Okay.
It felt more immediate though.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Okay.
But at this point, you know, what are they going to do? Fire him and bring on Messier? I mean, I'd be all for that. I don't think that's ultimately going to solve anything. And it is sad that potentially they missed a very good window to go win a Stanley Cup. They just fell short multiple times, whether it was to the Lightning, whether it was to the damn Panthers, whether it was just themselves not being good enough. The Devils' loss bothered me.
They've sunken like a rock. There's been a couple of conversations like where it just comes up organically, like which New York team is in the best spot to win a championship. And, you know, there were, for a good year plus, year and a half, Rangers justifiably right there with the Yankees before the Mets got Soto, before their renaissance. Like lately, it was the Rangers because it wasn't really the Knicks yet. Excuse me, it wasn't the Mets yet. It definitely wasn't the Jets or the Giants yet. It was really the two teams vying for that crown were the Yankees and the Rangers. And while the Yankees, I think, are going to be a playoff team, I don't view them as a World Series favorite now. And the Rangers are just imploding.
It still though feels to me that just get in. Especially when you have the goalie that could get hot, you never know.
Do you really believe that? I know it's good that you got to hang your hat on something, but do you believe it with this crew?
Well, here's the thing. I believed it last year. I believed it the years before because I felt like, hey, the power play's clicking. They're on fire. They got the team. They got the goalie. And it didn't happen when they were coming off, let's just use last year, the best record in the league with everything in place. So what's like, all right, just get in and you still have the best goalie. It didn't work last year with the best record. Do I really believe that they're going to win the Stanley Cup? No, but get in, and anything could happen in the postseason. Also, BT, I think the NHL's postseason, like, I just feel like it's more difficult than the other sports. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Meaning the favorite doesn't always win?
Yeah, and maybe meaning the first round is not as, like, the NBA, it's like, all right, generally you should win the first round if you're a good team.
Yes.
Even if you're the best team in the NHL, like, you could build a team that's going to be best, you could have the best goalie, this and that, and just the puck luck or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, there's an element to the NHL's postseason that I feel like is more difficult to get through and maybe a little more luck than, I'm not minimizing baseball or basketball, but you see what I'm saying? Like, the better teams in basketball generally, I feel like,
usually mop teams. Now, I think last year, the Rangers Capitals, that was a bit of an outlier. To your point, you generally get more resistance. That was an easy coast for the Rangers. But yeah, I mean, they look broken right now. They look like they're broken.
And they're leaving now the torch to St. John's to carry the championship in this town.
More than ready. More than capable.
And you also want, hey, you never know what next year brings. You're in there now. You're a two seed.
I know.
This is the, you won the Big East.
I'm not looking at next year, man. I know he's going to crush the portal, and I know St. John's will be very good next year.
But
I'm focused on Thursday. That's it. I'm not even looking at Kansas, Arkansas.
BT and Sal, the fan, will continue with the calls when we come back. Also work the Mets into the conversation next hour, 888-808-1019.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes. You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.